So today is May 3rd, 2006, and we're sitting in beautiful Woodacre, California with Yassos.
And with Elizabeth Alexander.
And we are interviewing Yassos for the Psychic Reader issue for June 2006. And thank you for being here, Yassos.
It's my home. Of course I'm here.
I appreciate you being in your home.
Thank you for being here.
And I want to focus the interview a lot on the healing aspects of your music.
Okay.
And how your music can help open a person's intuition, their psychic abilities, and the visions that they have. So maybe in your own words, talk about how this type of music that you create, what it means to you personally, and how so it inspires others. So, I mean, there's a lot to that question.
That's about 13 questions.
But let's go ahead and focus on the question about, in your own words, how you came to make this kind of music and what it means to you personally.
Right, right. Well, first of all, let me back up on the healing aspects. In my concerts, I've never, ever, ever promoted them or labeled them as a healing event. This was the first one, and the only reason I had the word healing in it is because you requested it for, you know, reasons of propriety with, you know, your legal standing. We had to do it that way, so we did. But before this, I've never, ever mentioned anything about healing in my events. I like that to be sort of like an inadvertent surprise bonus that sneaks in on the side. I used to do concerts, which are just a Yassos concert, beauty, right? Nothing else. And afterwards, people would come up to me and say, thanks for the healing. Wow, that was so healing. And then it wasn't long before I figured out that if it's really beautiful, it's healing. And so by focusing not on healing, but by focusing on beauty, I got healing results. And then I realized that beauty is healing. Why? Because beauty is harmoniously organized energy patterns. I'll repeat, beauty is harmoniously organized energy patterns. And so when people listen to it through pattern similarity resonance, they get more harmoniously organized with the energy patterns within their energy bodies. And that has a healing effect. So beauty is physically healing, it's physically relaxing, it's emotionally uplifting, it's spiritually inspiring, it's the most fun path back to divinity, and it's one of the my favorite ways back to divinity, and it's a quick way back too. So just by focusing on beauty, not on healing, I've inadvertently learned a lot about healing. Strangely enough, the archangel who specializes healing is Archangel Raphael, and we live right near San Rafael after the archangel Raphael, and that's his focus, is healing. And in my understanding of the seven rays in spirituality, the green ray is the one in charge of healing. And for each of the rays, there's a Shohan from the human kingdom, Hilarion, who used to be St. Paul. There's an archangel higher up from that, from the angelic kingdom, and it's Archangel Raphael. And above that, there's a Elohim from the elemental kingdom, who's Vista for the green ray. And Vista is the one that I'm working with. With music. And the way that came about is that at a certain point in my career, I started spontaneously hearing heavenly music in my mind, and I had no idea where it was coming from. It was just beautiful. I thought, God, if I could create this, I bet a lot of people would like it. But it was not conventional music, not even conventional sounds. And this was before synthesizers, and I was hearing unusual sounds in my mind. I had no idea how to create them. Some voice inside my head said, you can do this. So I trusted it. I came to California to start working on music. And eventually the technology, you know, caught up with me to where I could start creating these kinds of unusual sounds. And I had no idea where it was coming from. It's like listening to music with headphones, but without headphones. I was hearing it in my mind. And then a few years later, I had a spiritual experience or awakening where I suddenly recognized, it happened during automatic writing actually, where I suddenly recognized this particular being. And then boom, in a flash, a whole bunch of stuff came back into my memory all in an instant. I recognize Vista's personality, and boom, in an instant, I remember that he and I had made an agreement to work together. We made this agreement before I was born. And the agreement was, I would incarnate on Earth at this point in time and space. He would transmit music ideas to me, and also visual ideas. And my part would be to receive those ideas and externalize them so that anybody could benefit by them. And the whole point of this whole mutual exchange was to put music on this planet that would facilitate the vibrational upshift that the planet was going through to help people make this upshift, make it easier for people. So now, how does the music do this? That's a more technical answer.
Okay.
You want me to get into that? Or?
Let me ask a question here, Yassos. Can you give me an example of after one of your concerts, how, just one example, I know you have a lot, but one example, how people have written back to you, how you've inspired them because of your music?
Okay. On my website, I have a page called Quotes.
Yes.
And the first part of that page is quotes from famous people and organizations, but the latter part is just people that write back to me, and there's such an abundance of them. Different people say different things. And also, for each of my albums, I have feedback, you know, detailed information for each album. I have immense amounts of quotes from people that have commented on what particular albums have done for them. In the same way, so there's so many.
Yes.
Everything you can imagine is in there.
Right. So if you could just pick one, I'm looking at those quotes right now. So, for example, in the New Age Journal, Peter Simon quoted, you know, a 29-year-old musical genius, while other musicians have taken cracks at creating what might be called celestial music, Yassos has perfected the art. Interdimensional music through Yassos does point to previously unheard musical wavelength, an excellent vehicle towards traveling towards higher planes of consciousness in this newly development form of New Age music. So did you actually speak to Peter Simon?
No. That was the result of the release of my first album, which was one of the two albums that began New Age music. In 1975, I released my album, Interdimensional Music, and Stephen Halpern released his album, Spectrum Suite, which also included my electric flute playing on it a little bit. And those two albums began New Age music. And he heard the album, and in New Age Journal, he published that review of that album. And it was a great review, but it was, you know, like set a whole new precedent. There was nothing like it before. Now, you're talking about quotes from people that, from magazines, you know, famous magazines. But I have quotes from all kinds of people that just email me, and I put them on the website, but hiding their names. I just have their initials.
Just one real-life person, somebody like me, has come up to you after the concert. Just, you don't have to get it down, but just remembering someone coming up to you after the concert.
Well, sure, I'll give you the most recent one, which is the only one I actually remember, which was when I did the concert this last February in Finland.
Yes.
Which was the first and only concert where I've used the new visuals I've been working on, which I'll also be doing for your concert.
Excellent.
And I got an email from someone that said, "Your concert changed my life." Your concert changed my life. Thank you. And that's all it said.
So she was very inspired.
It was a guy.
Yeah. It was very inspired. Okay. And when you when you perform, you had mentioned to me that it's best not to have alcohol before the performance. Because it numbs your senses for the visuals. Can you expand on that?
Yes, alcohol is a dumb drug. People enjoy alcohol because it makes them less inhibited, and that's valid. But each drug, you see, the brain has many brain functions, and usually when you take any drug of any kind, some functions are enhanced and others are not enhanced. They're lower in efficiency. When you take alcohol, what's enhanced is you feel less inhibited, and that's fun. That's why people do it. However, many other brain functions are weakened by it. They're not as effective. Your sensitivity to subtler frequencies are highly weakened. Your intellect is weakened. Your logic mind doesn't work as effectively. Your sense of judgment is weakened. But more relevant to my performance, your sensitivity to high-frequency spiritual energies are blanked out. You know, you're not as sensitive to it. And so what's the point of coming to a Yassos concert on that, you know?
So you would recommend those individuals who want to have the highest psychic abilities heightened to come fully conscious without being alcohol-induced?
Not only that, I'd recommend that they not eat 2 hours before the concert, because if their blood is in their stomach, they don't have as much blood in their brain. So they can be more clear-headed, get way more out of it. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to eat, eat lightly or eat earlier.
Yes.
Don't eat just before you come to the concert.
Okay, so we'll have appetizers and refreshments after the concert.
Yeah, because it makes you more sluggish. You know, after a big meal, how you're feeling sluggish for a few hours? That's because your blood has moved away from your brain into your stomach.
Yes.
And the idea is, here's how it works. The more awake and high consciousness you are going into the concert, the more accelerated in consciousness you get at the end of the concert. Yes. So if you really want to get high from it, come arrive as high as you can, as awake as you can, as alive as you can, as vibrantly here and now as you can.
Present to all the senses. Yeah. Excellent. Now, I noticed that you said in your email that you have not had a local performance in the Bay Area or in Berkeley for over 5 years.
Yeah, I didn't want to scare them. It's actually been more like 8 years.
And, you know, you're traveling off to Finland. Yeah, you're traveling off, you know, opportunities in Germany.
Yes.
Why is it that you haven't been performing in the Bay Area? Is it because of your work that you've been doing with videos?
Well, basically, I don't do a concert unless somebody invites me to do a concert.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I don't set them up myself. I only do it by invitation. Mm-hmm. In the last 3 years, I haven't been stimulating people to inspire me to do concerts because I've been focusing on mastering video special effects in preparation for creating my DVD, which would be a DVD version of Realms of Light, adding celestial visuals to the celestial music I already have. So I haven't been focusing on music. I haven't done any music work. The only music work I've done is keep up to date with the latest music software, and that's it. Except for that, I'm just studying video effects, and I'm like a monk in a cave working on a book, transcribing it. I've just been studying, basically hermit by myself here for 3.5 years. And now I'm nearing the end of that study cycle. And when the DVD is finished, then my next focus will not be doing more music, but doing multimedia concerts around the world. That'll be my next focus. At that point, I anticipate doing a lot of concerts everywhere because I'm going to be focused in that direction.
Yes.
But at this point, it only happens when people invite me to.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I've had the opportunity to see your video, and I'm overwhelmed at how spectacular it is.
Yeah.
When do you expect that to be released to the public?
Oh, whenever I make an estimate, it's always extremely way off. So I hesitate to make an estimate. Maybe early next year.
Great.
But, you know, it might be earlier, might be later. But
yeah,
my history is that whenever I make an estimate, it is so far off that I just, you know, hesitate really to make estimates.
Well, I was intrigued by your comment after I watched the video. I was completely blown away because I had never seen anything quite like that.
Yeah, some people called it a new art form.
I saw it as a new art form. And I've thought many times about your comment.
Well, you know, the being I work with, they don't call them Vista for nothing.
Yes. I was intrigued by your comment where you said you'd rather have one masterpiece than throw a lot of junk out there.
Mm-hmm.
Has that kind of been the theme of your career development over the past 30 years?
Yeah, a lot of other musicians complain about Yasus, you're so darn slow. You take so long to produce each album. I might spend 3.5 years to produce one album, stuff like that. When I worked on Crystal Vista, one of the videos that began New Age Videos, that was in 1980 I was working on, I spent a whole year for a half-hour video. He's so darn slow. Well, it amounts to polishing, you know? Let's say that I'm a merchant that sells brass teapots, okay? I can just make it and polish it for half an hour and then sell it. Or I can polish it for 3 weeks so it's totally sparkling and then sell it. Well, if I polish it for 3 weeks, I'll have much fewer ones to sell, but each one will really be a jewel. I mean, when I leave planet Earth permanently, I'd rather leave behind a few exquisite jewels rather than a lot of mediocrity. I didn't say junk. I said mediocrity. And so I'm interested in producing jewels regardless of how long each one takes, rather than... So basically, I'm going for quality rather than quantity.
Well, I can tell you that I will be the first one to purchase this once it comes out, and I will share it with my family and friends. It's an amazing piece of work.
So, my friends just said they all want me to give them copies.
Yeah.
And I say, sorry, I don't want this going out. I want to wait because it spoils the dramatic impact when the final thing is released if people say, oh yeah, I've already seen that.
Well, we see a little piece of that at the concert.
They'll see a lot of it.
On June 24th.
A lot of it.
So this will be the first time that it's been previewed in the United States.
In the Bay Area.
In the Bay Area.
Yeah, uh-huh.
In the Bay Area.
In a public event will be the first time in the United States. And I have a few instruments for that concert where there won't be any visuals at all. But for most of the instruments, there'll be continuous visuals.
Mm-hmm. Great. Now, we touched upon, you know...
Oh, I want to mention something about that.
Go ahead.
One thing that Vista has made me aware of is that...
Explain Vista once again for us.
Okay, he's a higher dimensional light being that I work with, that I made an agreement to work with before I incarnated. And he transmits music ideas and visual ideas to me, and I try to receive them and manifest them, externalize them, to make them available as actual sounds that anybody can hear and actual visuals that anybody can see. And we're doing this together to create art as sound and visuals that have an uplifting effect to facilitate people going through the vibrational upshift that the whole planet is going through. And I dearly love him. He's a high being. He's a magnificent being. He's just the type of God I'd love to evolve into. And since I'm working with him, his vibes are rubbing off on me. Mm-hmm. One of the things he pointed out to me is that, of course, there's no innate built-in role or obligation for what music should be. There's no should at all. But there are certain things that it can be. Music is capable of inducing divine emotions, and visuals are capable of inducing divine thought forms. Now, when they're working together synergistically to simultaneously induce divine emotions and divine thought forms, that synergistic results pops people into states of higher consciousness, expanded awareness. Mm-hmm. And that's the whole point of the multimedia concerts, and that's the whole point of the DVD I'm working on.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Well, today, you know, all of us are stressed out.
Really?
And rushing around.
I wouldn't know. When my girlfriend does a massage on me, she's amazing. She never notices tension in any parts of my body.
And that that music is a way of reconnecting with your source. It's music that helps us express relaxation. Some people think of it as background music. I don't think so. Would you agree that the music that you put together in a stressed workplace could help relax the environment?
For some music, yes. For some music, no. I have some music that's designed to be background music, ambient, so like flavoring the space like incense does. And in those cases, it's very soothing and relaxing and calming and nurturing and healing. I have other music which is designed for folks' attention. It wouldn't work at all as background music. It would stimulate them. It's extremely stimulating. You listen with headphones and you go to very high exhilarated spaces. It's the exact opposite of being calming. It's stimulating. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Well,
So I have some of both.
Mm-hmm. I can speak from experience. The sacred music, I believe, CD. Sacred Sonic Tools that you gave me. I've been playing it in my office. And when I'm not there, I also have been playing it. And I've been noticing I've been much more productive at work. Receiving more phone,
really?
More phone calls, and it's kind of cleared my office as well. So
interesting.
I can speak
because really designed to be played just as background music where you're using it, and that is a special case where it's not really even music. It's a set of sounds where each sound is a unique tool that does something unique, and it's designed that you only play the sound you need for whatever purpose you want to accomplish.
Mm-hmm.
So you're using it in a very unusual way and getting, for me, interesting
results.
Yeah.
Yes.
Great.
Also, can you talk a little bit about the upcoming event and what a person might look forward to, as well as the music that you're going to be sharing on June 24th? I know you've been preparing and practicing.
Yeah, if they are interested in spiritual experiences, if they're interested in going to higher consciousness spaces, if they're interested in going within deeper than usual, if they're interested in contacting their own divinity more accurately, precisely than usual, if they're interested in getting a tremendous parade of continuous beauty patterns, then this concert is for them. Because that's what it's all about. It's not designed for someone that just wants to, you know, have a beer and watch football. It's designed for people who want to have deep spiritual experiences. For example, when I play flute, I use ancient Greek scales. And what they see in the visuals is images of Delphi, Greece, you know, where the temples were. Mm-hmm. Some people, for some people, it triggers past life recall of ancient Greece.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I have other ones that opens up the heart and visuals look like energy patterns slowly unfolding like a blossoming flower. And for many people, they have their heart open up more than it ever has before. For other people, they get so engrossed in the visuals, they forget all about the music. And afterwards, they say, it took me to really high spaces. And other people get so engrossed in the music, they don't even notice the visuals. And it's fine in both cases. My job is to provide them a smorgasbord that includes a vast variety, rich in beauty patterns, both in sound and in visuals. And just like a smorgasbord or a buffet, you don't have to eat everything that's there. There's a lot presented, you just grab what looks good. And also, with respect to that, there's a certain amount of color healing that happens. And it's not based on conventional ideas of color healing, which is this color does that, and that color does this, and this color does that. Totally different principle. The principle is you give them all of the pure colors, and then whichever color their unique energy system lacks or needs, they automatically, effortlessly, instinctively absorb. So by the end of the concert, when they walk out, the energy field is much more of a balanced rainbow of all the colors. Rather than being lopsided, where it has a lot of some but very few of others, become much more balanced color-wise. So they leave in a more balanced state color-wise. I've had one person at the end of a concert, I had a kaleidoscope projector on the screen when I was finished, and he was so hungry for it, he just stood in front of the screen, stretched out his arms, and just received the colors as much as he could. An uninhibited soul. But he understood what color can do, and he was just receiving as much as he possibly could.
Great. Can you tell us a little bit about your event in Finland? What was it like to travel to a foreign country and be honored as the co-founder of New Age Music? How did that feel to you after your 30-year
journey?
I don't think
they honored me as the co-founder of New Age Music. I think most of them didn't even know that. Most of them only honored me because I'm the featured concert, whoever this guy Yasos is, and they didn't really know much about me. Now, the people who hired me knew that, but the main audience say, Yasos is supposed to be some great musician, so we'll see and find out if he is, you know. After they saw the concert, they're very, very impressed. As a matter of fact, it was kind of interesting to watch their reaction because the Finnish people, all Scandinavian people, have a tradition. They're known for being kind of a little bit emotionally inhibited. But you should have seen them at the end of the concert. See, what I do is, at the beginning of the concert, I ask them to please not clap, because the clapping has a beautiful meaning. It expresses appreciation and gratitude. It's actually a very harsh, destructive sound. It's randomly timed explosions. So when we create beautiful thought forms in the air from the music, as soon as everybody claps, all the thought forms tumble and crash and disappear. If we create a magic spell with music and visuals in the audience, the whole room is in this magic spell. As soon as everybody claps, it's destroyed. Well, I'd like to have that magic accumulate rather than be destroyed after each piece of music. And so I asked them, please not clap, but instead, if you want to express appreciation and gratitude, simply say, la. It's a smooth vibration. It doesn't shatter the energy. And so after that concert, oh man, you should have seen them. They're like a melted puddle of angels. When it finished, and I bowed to signify that it was over, after about 10, 15 seconds, there's a very gentle la that started there, la, and then it got to be strong. But it wasn't powerful. It was the kind of sound that would come out of a heart that was melted, totally in state of being, devotionally melted. And it's going on, it had a feeling of softness in it, like a melted heart. And it went through the whole room, and it sounded very much like an angelic choir. And then gradually it faded out, and then stopped. And just when you thought it was over, it would come again, another wave of it. So there are about seven waves of these that just were going on. Each wave lasted maybe 45 seconds and fade out. You think, okay, now it's over. Then another wave would start. This went on for like maybe 12 minutes. And then after about that, about half the people got up and left. And the other half were still so zoned out that they just stayed in their seats. And a few of them just kept doing la again. And there'd be more waves of la happening. And after about another 10 minutes, then the whole thing was finished and they got up. So I was at the receiving end of all that. It was really quite wonderful. I have video of it. It shows me being blissed out as I'm receiving all this love from all these people. But these are supposedly inhibited, emotionally inhibited Finnish people, totally melted. Now, I was lucky because that event was an annual spiritual festival. So I didn't get the average person from Finland there. I got people that were very mm-hmm. awake spiritually, and they were evolved spiritually, very aware souls, mm-hmm. which is ideal for the kind of concert I like to give. Mm-hmm. Concert is appreciated when there's a good match between the consciousness of the performer and the consciousness of the audience.
Mm-hmm.
So since I'm interested in giving spiritual experience, people that are interested in spiritual experiences are the ideal audience for what I have to offer. And that's what I had there. So it was a good matchup mm-hmm. between the audience and performer. Mm-hmm. So they dug it very, mm-hmm. very much. Mm-hmm. So that's what happened there.
Mm-hmm. Are you looking forward to performing in front of a group of psychics?
I can't wait. Let me tell you my prediction. My prediction is that many of them afterwards will have to come up to me and tell me the incredible psychic experiences they had during the concert, what it triggered in them. Because it is an extreme catalyst for normal people. For psychics, it'll be about 14 times as much of a catalyst. So I predict that afterwards, many people will come up, not just to thank me and tell me how wonderful it was and how great it was, but to tell me the actual experience they had. Like, while you're performing, this being came down from over your head, and he engulfed you, and he filled you with all the silver energy. Then he was flying around the room, and all these things happened. And then some being came, and they picked me up, and they took me to this other dimension. I was there for a long time, and then they brought me back. You know, I predict that a lot of people will be coming up to me and telling me the far-out spiritual experiences they had during the concert, triggered by the music and visuals. Mm-hmm. I'm sure.
Great.
I've done enough concerts in different places. I'm pretty good at predicting mm-hmm. what's going to happen. I'm certain that's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be fun. It'll be fun to have somebody recording what people are saying to me. Of course, that might inhibit them.
A lot of pilgrims will be coming back from Egypt on June 4th. And we're planning a reunion on June 24th at your concert.
Wonderful.
Do you want to talk about, this is a picture that I'm holding up of your Egyptian past life.
Yeah.
And the picture of you in the Cairo Museum from that past life. Can you share with us about that?
Yes. I was at a library and I was looking at a book called The Nile. It was a big color picture book on Egypt. And I was stunned where I turned to one page and it had a portrait. An ancient-looking portrait that was exactly me, exactly my face. Same kind of hair, same kind of curly hair, same kind of facial bone structure, same kind of beard. Mm-hmm. But unmistakably my eyes. Unmistakably my eyes. As a matter of fact, when my grandmother from Greece visited me, she and I had many interesting metaphysical conversations, and she didn't believe in incarnation, reincarnation. But when I showed her this picture, that picture made her start believing in reincarnation. Just her seeing that, because she could tell that was my eyes.
Mm-hmm.
So I was very stunned, and I did some psychic research on within myself to find out what was going on then. And it was me, and I had an incarnation to where I was a merchant importing goods between Greece and Egypt. At the height of my business career, I had 3 ships. Near the end, I had 2 ships. One was lost to pirates. And I would buy things in Greece and sell them in Egypt, buy things in Egypt, sell them to Greece. And I died at the ripe old age of 37, which was pretty long for then.
Mm-hmm.
So I was a rather wealthy merchant, so I had a portrait made of me, which is what that was. That's what I remember. And then last time I was in Egypt, I was at the Cairo Museum, and I was thinking to myself, I wonder if my picture's here. And then I found it upstairs in room 214, the room that has a lot of pictures of portraits of people. They used to do portraits on top of the coffins, and this is one of them. And in the book where I first saw this, in the book called The Nile, it said, this picture was found 50 miles from Cairo. It's dated 450 AD, and the painting was believed to be Greek in style.
Wow. Wow. And you shared with me on one of your CDs, you have a song that talks or brings up energy about this Egyptian past life or an Egyptian past life. Can you share with us the energy of that song?
When I first came to California, basically I came just with a flute and $500. And I was a hippie living in Berkeley, near the Berkeley campus. I used to like practicing flute because I needed to get really good on flute to get professional level on it. At the bottom of the stairwell of the Anthropology building, because it had a wonderful echo, the Anthropology building on the Berkeley campus has a spiral staircase made out of pure marble, so it has an exquisite echo. So I used to practice flute at the bottom of the stairwell, practice, just close my eyes, start playing. 45 minutes later, I'd open my eyes and all these students would be standing in the stairs listening to me. They enjoyed listening to it and I enjoyed playing. And once when I went down there to practice, they had a huge mummy, a sarcophagus, right at the bottom of the stairwell where I normally practice. I thought that was odd, but I ignored it. I came there to practice, and so I did. I closed my eyes, started playing. And then I realized I'm starting to hear Egyptian music in my mind. And then I realized, oh, it's coming from the sarcophagus. So just by focusing on music while I was standing right next to this real, authentic Egyptian sarcophagus, a huge one, it would start to trigger past life recall of Egyptian music. And then I eventually put that into a piece of music called Osiris Bullman and Elephant Walk, which on my initial record was the first cut on side two, and it's now available on the same CD of the same title, Interdimensional Music. And it's just my attempt to recreate the sound of what I was hearing in my head. And I have had people tell me that that piece did trigger past life recall of ancient Egypt.
Mm-hmm. Are you going to play anything similar to that at the concert on June 24th?
I don't think so. Mm-hmm. But the people that have just had an experience from Egypt are still likely, with other things I'll be playing, to get triggered in interesting ways related to Egypt. Although I won't be playing that particular piece.
Mm-hmm. Great, thank you. When did your family come over from Greece to the United States?
I was born in 47, we came in 51 when I was 4 years old.
Mm-hmm.
My mother, father, and I had a brother 2 years younger than me. Mm-hmm. And we were in New York City for a few years while my father was getting up to be the legalities of becoming a doctor in America. Mm-hmm. And then we moved to upstate New York where I was raised.
Mm-hmm.
Upstate, about 11 miles from the Canadian border. Mm-hmm. And then I went to college at Cornell University, kept changing majors, and then I realized that all my creativity was music, and I decided I was going to make music my career. Mm-hmm. And then when I graduated from Cornell in cultural anthropology, I made a paper airplane out of a diploma, flew it out the window, and then came to California to work on music. I'd actually passed up a postgraduate scholarship that I'd won, a great scholarship at the University of Oregon. They were furious that I passed up on it.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever performed in Greece as far as your musical New Age music?
I performed in Egypt, right near the pyramid, but not Greece. In Egypt, for the Power Places tour, I had everybody sing at the Mina House, which is the big hotel right next to the pyramid, and they had this big tent set up for all the conference events, and I did perform at that tent, and it was open in the back so people could see me on stage performing, and seeing behind me, they see the pyramid at night. It was cold, but it was really beautiful. But I've never performed in Egypt, in Greece, but one of my dreams is to do a full moon concert in May in the amphitheater in Delphi, Greece. I want to do that. I've checked into it. They don't let anybody perform there, not even popular Greek music stars, because they're afraid people may fall on the stones and hurt themselves, especially at night. But somehow, I have to do that. I want to do that, and I will do that. I envision doing a concert there on a full moon night in May. And it'll be just exquisite. When I'm finished, people walk out speechless.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure of it. Somehow, I've got to make it happen.
So, where do you see yourself in the next... in the next 3 to 5 years, if you create and visualize where you see yourself, what do you see for yourself and your music?
When I was first starting, releasing my first album in 75, the percent of the public that was resonant, receptive to what I had to offer was very small, just a tiny sliver of the overall population. But as the planetary vibrations are increasing and more people are going up in vibrations with it, my potential audience is increasing each year. More people are in the consciousness range where they can perceive and appreciate what I have to offer. So I have an increasing population of people that can enjoy, appreciate, get off on what I like, what I do, rather than people that just think of it as strange sounds that are irrelevant to what they're interested in.
Mm-hmm.
This, I anticipate this will increase between now, which is 2006, and 2012. I think my potential audience will be increasing exponentially. And especially since I'll be doing concerts around the world after I finish this DVD, I anticipate that the public exposure from doing concerts around the world, plus the fact that the potential audience I have worldwide is increasing each year from simply from people raising their vibrations because the planet's raising its vibration, I expect to have a much more world recognition for what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's everybody's benefit. You know, people benefit from music. I benefit from You know, mm-hmm. they're buying my CDs, etc. So it's a win-win.
Mm-hmm. Do you plan on staying in the Bay Area, having a home in the Bay Area?
Each area has certain strengths and weaknesses. For me, what makes Marin County magic is the Deva that is above Mount Tamalpais.
Mm-hmm.
There's a Deva that overshadows Mount Tamalpais, and each Deva has its own unique qualities. And for me, the specialty of the Deva that overshadows Mount Tamalpais, and therefore that overshadows Marin County, the specialties of that Deva is creativity in the high consciousness arts. Lucasfilms is here, most of New Age musicians are here, many of New Age painters are here. They come and go, but this is more of a center than anywhere else on the whole planet. The whole New Age for the planet began in America. And in America, the whole New Age really began in the Bay Area. And the Bay Area, the New Age began in Marin County. And Marin County began because of that Deva over Mount Tamalpais. That's my sense of it, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So I like being in Marin for creating. It's a great place to accomplish, get things done. Maui is a great place for love energy and for revitalizing your physical body.
Mm-hmm.
Berkeley is a great place for being stimulating your intellect. You know, different areas have different mm-hmm. specialties.
Mm-hmm.
What I would like to have several homes, several places. I would like to have three homes, actually. I would like to have a home in Marin because it's a great place to accomplish, create, and produce. I'd like to have a home on Maui because it is full of love energy and a great place to revitalize your body. And I'd like to have a home in Bora Bora, one of the Tahitian islands, Bora Bora, because that's home for my body. It's totally relaxing, comfortable, beautiful. For me, it's the most beautiful spot mm-hmm. on the planet. Mm-hmm. So I'd like to have those three homes. That's my plan.
Mm-hmm. I notice in your studio here, the energy, when I look at the energy, it is so clean and so clear.
Yeah.
It's just.
If you want to do a vibrational vortex, just walk through the door, right?
Yeah, I just, you know, it's the vortex.
You're
of
in a
just
different dimension. Yeah, right.
I feel like I'm on a different planet.
You are, well, in a sense, you are. Yeah, you're
and,
a different dimension. They don't call my company Interdimensional Music for nothing.
And as I walk in here, I see just a clean and clear vibration.
Yes.
Do you attribute this to anything that, do you sage your home on a regular basis?
Let me let
office?
You in on a little secret about sage. There's nothing innately about sage that purifies the energy. People believe that sage purifies, then it purifies, but only because they believe it purifies.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing innately purifying about sage. It's a pleasant smell,
mm-hmm.
but there's nothing innately purifying about it, but it's your belief that it purifies that causes it to purify.
Mm-hmm.
It's the belief that's really triggering it.
Mm-hmm. But what do you attribute to the success of the clear energy in your home?
It's my aura.
Mm-hmm.
Each person's house
mm-hmm.
holds the energy of whoever lives in that house.
Mm-hmm.
Simple, that's it.
Mm-hmm. Great.
My energy is filled in this house, so you're feeling the externalization of my energy. You're in my expanded aura by being in my
mm-hmm.
house, just like I'm in your expanded aura when I'm in your house.
Right. Okay, thank you.
That's all, just that.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything else that you would like to share to the readers the psychic reader?
Uh-huh.
It seems a kind of a correlation that the Berkeley psychic reader has been around for 30 years in the Bay Area, and you've been around for 30 years,
yes.
and we're taking a step up in in remodeling, if you will, the psychic reader, and I see kind of a correlation between the psychic reader and you helping with the fundraiser for June 24th.
Yeah, first of all, in terms of that correlation, when I first came to California, I was a hippie with my only possessions were $500 and a flute, and I pretty soon went through the $500. And I remember walking through the Berkeley campus, and I was thinking to myself, someday I'm going to be considered a great musician, and I'll be doing concerts here, and people pay a lot of money to come to my concerts. And now, pop, here it is. So to answer your question, what I wanted to share to people is that this concert is a unique experience for them. If they want, they can simply go to it as a fun experience, and that's valid. That's perfectly
mm-hmm.
fine. Nothing wrong with that. But it can be much more than that if they go into it with an intention.
Mm-hmm.
My suggestion or invitation is to suggest to them that they go to this event with the intention, let me underline it, intention, that during the concert, the visuals and the music will trigger them into higher states of awareness, increase contact with their own divinity, and if they need healing, healing. If they need emotional healing, emotional healing. If they go into it with that intention, they will still have fun from the concert, but they'll get much more out of it than just fun. And it all boils down to them choosing to have that intention or not have that intention.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I like the way that you sent out the email to your list, email list about the dress code. Can you talk a little bit about what you shared?
Yes, it's a there are a few things in the Yasos tradition. One of them is I ask people to come dressed the way they envision the outpicturing of their own divine self. Come dressed as your God self or your goddess self. Dare to let everyone see who you really are on the outside. Don't hold back. Don't be inhibited. Let everyone see who you really are. Dress as magnificently as you always envision your higher self to be, because you are the outpicturing. You're basically the precipitated light ray from your higher self anyway, so why not dress accordingly? And so that's very inspiring, because when people come and they dress that way, it is a confirmation and validation for themselves to see themselves that way, but also they get very inspired by seeing everybody else that way. It's sort of like everybody confirming to each other their own divinity.
Yes.
It's an indirect way of saying, oh, wow, look at your divinity. Wow, you're really beautiful. Wow, you're magnificent. And so you say that to other people say that to you. And you can see it just in the look in their eye when they're looking at you, too. So it helps people establish, recognize, and confirm to themselves their own divinity. And also, on a party level, it's fun.
Great. Well, we're really looking forward to having you at the Berklee Psychic Institute on June 24th. And look forward to seeing you there. Thank you, Yasos, for your time.
Can't wait. Thank you.
Thanks for your time.
Thank you.